month, and this has been going on for 3 months. You're talking in 3 months, over almost 1.8 million people have lost their jobs across America, and there aren't any new jobs coming down the line. Certainly, the Obama's so-called stimulus bill. Initially, they were going to create 4 million new jobs. We were going to create 4 million new jobs, and then suddenly we were going to create 2-3 million new jobs, and then suddenly we were going to save 3 million jobs. You notice how it sort of changes, you know, and it does it so subtly that if you're not listening very clearly, you think they're saying the same thing, but they're really not, because the stimulus bill as it was put forward is not going to create jobs. It may create some jobs over in China, because of course we're going to be buying the steel and other things over in China. But as far as jobs here in the United States, yes, there are about 44,000 jobs that will be created, but that'll be a year or more from now. That'll be probably in the year 2010 as far as putting in highways and repairing bridges. But if you calculate that out, there's about $50 billion that's going to go to create 44,000 jobs. I figure about $125,000 per temporary job. You'd be better off to just give them the money, and let them go ahead and spend the money. Overall, it was $787 billion, and say 3 million new jobs. What you're talking about is going to cost about $276 billion per job. Most of what this is really all about, well, they want to get electronic medical records so the government can track your personal medical history. And then, of course, they are giving almost $280 billion to states because they're facing bankruptcy. And they can't simply go out and print money like the federal government can. But, ladies and gentlemen, you can't spend yourself out of a situation like we are that was created by too much spending. It's like fighting a fire with gasoline. It just doesn't work. And that is exactly what we're doing. It is not simply that. They're going to put out $75 billion for housing, trying to stop the cascade of housing collapses. But what they're going to do is not going to help the majority of people. We have almost 10 million people who are facing losing their homes. And, of course, most of these people are not going to be helped because they really don't want to solve the problem. But they want to convince you they're trying to solve the problem. And we're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're just talking about what's going on as far as the effect of what's taking place. It's estimated that the federal government so far has either promised or given somewhere about $10.4 trillion to financial institutions. Well, we don't even know where a lot of the money went. There's a couple of trillion dollars that has been given away, and certainly they will not tell anybody where the money has gone. And that, of course, is the problem that arises as far as the money that was given to AIG, and we've given AIG about $170 billion so far. And, of course, without the $170 billion, a lot of that has gone to other banks. In other words, it's gone right to AIG to support Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, Chase, and a number of European banks that had derivative contracts with AIG. Now, what we should do is let the whole thing simply collapse and start it all over again. And instead of that, we're going to be financing the very banks that wrote the derivative contracts, the very banks that actually bundled the collateralized debt obligations and got them triple rated. But we're not doing what is logical. We're bailing out the banks that created the problem. And, of course, this is all going to be used eventually down the line to destroy the value of our currency. And this is the big problem that we face today, is that where is all this money coming from? I mean, certainly if you look at the amount of money, currency in circulation, it's about 1.5 trillion. $1 trillion. Now, it was, you know, before this all started, it was about $800 billion. They've actually doubled their money in circulation over the rather just a couple of months. And this is how you get hyperinflation. And then the M2 is up to about $8.5 trillion, and M3, well, they won't even publish that anymore because they really don't want the American people to know what's going on. But as far as we can calculate, and as far as John Williams of Shadow Statistics can tell us, it's about over $14 trillion. But if you really get, you know, into what's really going on today, you're talking about the national debt is, according to the generally accepted accounting practices, that's known as GAAP, G-A-A-P, generally accepted accounting practices, the federal debt right now at the end of the last year, 2008, stood at $65.1 trillion, and with the way we're going now, why, of course, I think we can expect it to be within 2 or 3 years. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Right now we're having a little difficulty getting our regularly scheduled guests, so if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. The official federal deficit, the one they want you to believe is accurate, right now stands about $10.5 or $10.6 trillion. But if you actually calculate this according to the way that the GAO does this, and that's the generally accepted accounting practices, the so-called GAAP figure, the federal debt at the present time, at the end of the year 2008, stood at $65.1 trillion. If you want the verification, you can get it off the Internet, or we'll be glad to send it to you. There's no way in the world, of course, we could ever pay that off. There's not that much money and value in the entire world. But, of course, the average individual has no idea what's really going on, and the average individual, unfortunately, does not realize that the only way that they can ever pay off the national debt is simply to destroy the value of our currency, move towards hyperinflation, and then, of course, the byproduct of that will be the destruction of the value of our currency. And this has happened over and over again through the years. And that's exactly what our leaders are doing. They just don't want you to know what they're doing. And, of course, what you're seeing is the massive transfer of wealth to the very wealthy, to the J.P. Morgan Chase banks, and to the Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, and those banks that are controlled by the establishment. And, of course, that is our wealth. And when they destroy the value of our currency, they will have succeeded in impoverishing the American people. Well, let's go to Steve, who's calling us from Illinois. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Steve. How are you doing? Steve, are you there? Oh, we don't have Steve pushed in there all the way. All right. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, more of a comment, I guess. I see charades going on. They keep talking about Obama talking down the economy, and he, oh, boy, and you keep talking, it's sure as heck's going to go down. Well, what they mean by that, that's the gangsters' mouthpieces talking, because he wants some kind of re-regulation of them, why they've got these mouthpieces come out saying, oh, doom and gloom from Obama, and this, that, and the other. You know, and charades is going on with, Dr. Stan, China and Israel are in here buying up these fire sale properties. And what's the best thing to own, say, when they do collapse the monetary system in this country? Why, land, of course. And they're getting the farmers off because when they collapse the monetary system, it's already collapsed, by the way, Then land is the best thing to hold, I mean, in lieu of money. And then they've got real control worldwide. And we've got to get this stopped. And we are at war, no less, with this Congress, the best Congress money can buy, and money, the root of all evil. And if we don't get this Congress stopped, I mean, they should be physically, unsummarily pulled out of Washington, give them 24 hours to get out of town with their lives and their goods and whatever, and that's it. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I guess maybe it's going to come all at once, but I don't think we really stand a chance. I don't care how many guns we own in this country. By the way, Israel holds our main ammunition contract. For what reasons, I don't know. But this is just going on and on, and it's just, it's a whirlpool coming down to the final end. I saw this 28 years ago taking place under the Reagan administration. You could just, I've seen this time and time again, and it's just, ridiculous how it keeps going. But until we
I agree with everything you've said. I don't know about Israel holding the ammunition contract, but maybe it's true. Anyway, we can always check that out. But I think the important thing to realize is that we have to educate the American people. I can tell from your tone of voice how frustrated you feel. And believe me, I feel frustrated too, because I understand everything that you're saying is absolutely true. But nothing is going to change until enough Americans already are hurt, until they've lost their homes, they've lost their jobs, or their relatives have, or they begin to see the chaos developing. What we have to do is educate the American people and make them understand the fraudulent nature of the Federal Reserve System, of the Federal Reserve, of the fractional reserve banking system, and then understand the spiritual forces which are behind all of this. So, you know, I applaud you for your understanding what's going on, but you've got to help us educate the others. We've got about 300 million people out there to educate, and we've got a few other people on the radio and on the internet and shortwave doing it, and we've just got to do a better job, but we can only reach so many people. You've got to learn how to approach people. If you approach them, you know, sounding angry or frustrated or scared why they're going to repudiate you, learn how to ask questions. Why do you really think that, for instance, why are we giving money to Hamas, a terrorist organization, today when we're having to borrow money every day just to pay our own bills? That really doesn't make sense. Maybe you could explain it to me.
Go ahead. I thank God literally that you're there, because I'd probably be in the booby hatch. But you know, I heard your guest here last night. You had a pastor on, last night. And see, you know, this Hamas thing, right away, you know, that strikes a negative tone with me, that I, you know, these mouthpieces are getting by with it. Hamas wouldn't be there. Israel is the one that started them in the first place, and now they are set up to really boom and cheer them and everything. We're playing right into their hands.
Remember, now, it wasn't simply the Mossad. It was the CIA, because the Mossad and the CIA and the KGB and all of these intelligence agencies work together, because in all of them there is a dark spiritual element. So I used only that as an example to try to get people to think. Now, you can ask people, you know, how could it be that our leaders were so foolish they didn't see this collapse of the economy coming down? Is it possible there were some people who knew it was coming down and they didn't intervene because they wanted this to happen? Why would anybody want that? And then, of course, the obvious answer is because they want to create chaos and a one-world government. Refer them to Henry Kissinger's January 12th article in the International Herald Tribune. They can go up and read it. In fact, incidentally, I was so proud of Joseph Fair of WorldNet Daily. He had an editorial up there talking about the Trilateral Commission and Henry Kissinger. I couldn't have done anywhere near as good a job as he did, and he's going to reach millions of people on WorldNet Daily. So I congratulate him for it. Steve, anything else you want to say? We do have another caller.
Let me close with real quick. I almost called your pastor friend because he picked up on a Hamas thing. But I want to ask him. Now, you know, in that one city, I forget what, I'm sorry to excuse me the name, there were 600,000 reported, but I think it was closer to a million. See, my dad was born in Jerusalem, Israel. I get a lot of things that other people, but I can almost see without him. But the thing is, they were all Christians in Iraq in this city, and they were under whom? Iraqi and U.S. forces control. But they were chased along with everybody else out of the city, and they got little fanfare. Now, why did all the Christians get thrown out? I think it was closer to a million, like Pop said. And, you know, and then get such small plates. See, that's where you're talking about the spirits and everything behind the people.
Absolutely right.
That's going on. And things just don't make sense, but they do make sense in the real scheme of things.
They make you sense.
And I thank you, Dr. Stan, and I'll talk to you again.
God bless. And, of course, I think the explanation is there is a conspiracy against God. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. And if you doubt there's a conspiracy against God, get out of Strong's Bible Concordance and go to the word conspiracy, and you'll find out that the word is used repeatedly in the King James version of the Bible. And if it's good enough for God, why, the word's good enough for me. I believe there is a conspiracy, and it's a conspiracy against God. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Right now we've got Mitch calling from Northern California, and if you're out there across America, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I see the board lighting up. Hi, Mitch. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Stan. I'll make this quick. Stan, the other day, just before you come on, 5.875, there's True News. I don't know, on the same frequency, it's called True News with Rick, I can't think of his name.
Would that be Rick Wiles?
I think that's it.
All right, I don't know. I don't listen to shortwave. I don't have time. But anyway, what about him?
Yeah, anyway, he's a very sharp guy. And he had a person on there, what he was saying was he had a speaker on there. I guess you could say he's some sort of a prophet. And he was saying that the remnant, there's a certain remnant leaving the United States going to the Caribbean. Have you had any take on that? Or?
No, I haven't heard it. I'm always a little suspicious of these people who are self-styled prophets, you know. God has spoken
to me. Right, well, I am too, but...
I haven't heard anything at all about going to the Caribbean. I've heard a lot about the people from the dark side going to Henderson, Nevada, and that, of course, is a story in Mr. Peterson's book. I think it's Wayne Peterson's book, which we carry. It's written from the occult point of view, a man who was recruited into this whole occult movement by David Rockefeller. At least that's what he says. But there, the book is Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People, and we carry it, but only on our cult book list, but they're going to Henderson, Nevada, but I don't know anything at all about them going to the Caribbean.
Yeah. Well, my question was, in your studies, I know you're a very wise man, has God put anything on as far as some sort of remnant or people leaving this to a safe heaven, somewhere else other than this country?
Well, I know that there are some people who are leaving, but God hasn't told me to leave, so I'm going to stay
okay.
here. And I'll tell you that through the years I'm still trying
to figure it out myself.
I really don't have anything there at all. You'd have to call the author or talk to the man involved. But our telephone number is
1-888.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll be right back. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Stan.
Okay.
I'll let you get another...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-484-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
To see if we can get on tomorrow, because he's one of my favorite guests. It's Jerome Corsi. But anyway, we've got Ruby on the line from Live Oak. Ruby, as Sydney had met Leon Skousen many years ago, that's Joel Skousen's uncle, and of course had learned about the Constitution in those days, and it's such a shame that because of the degree of control of our educational system, they do not teach the children today that the whole purpose of the Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government so that people could be free. It's much easier to have one centralized tyranny than 50 individual tyrannies. That's why, of course, the people, the wealthy people who want to establish a feudal society in the United States have actually created a situation where all power is located in Washington, D.C., and then they just simply buy the support of the politicians. And as we often say, we have the finest politicians in Washington, D.C. today that money could buy. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and it's open line Tuesday. Oh, go ahead, Ruby. Have something else you'd like to say?
I just wanted to say thank you very much for all the work you're doing, and I listen to you every single night. So, thank you very much, and God bless you.
Well, you're more than welcome. God bless you. And just what we have to do is just get as many people listening as we can and try to make them understand what is really going on in the world today. And suddenly they have to understand the Constitution. They have to understand the fact that there really are organized forces here who have financed the world communist movement. Most communists don't know that. Same people financed the world Nazi movement and were funding Hitler and providing weapons for Adolf Hitler during the course of the Second World War. And it was General Motors and Ford Motor Company that were building the trucks and the other armaments, other vehicles that were being used by the Nazis, all during the war with the full support of their home corporations here in the United States. This is covered in two books, one which we carry, that's Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. That's Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, a very important book. The other, and apparently they still have it up on Amazon. We checked today, and they do have some copies. It's Charles Hingham's book, Trading with the Enemy. And he has a great deal of information on this. And until you can understand that we always finance both sides in a war, it's what happened in Vietnam when the United States was funding the Russians, who were funding the North Vietnamese, who were funding the Viet Cong, who were killing our boys in the rice paddies of Vietnam, just exactly as today we funded the Pakistan government that funds the ISI intelligence agency that funds the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda that kills our boys over in Iran and Iraq. It's like deja vu all over again, and not one person in 100,000 in America really understands these things, but this is how the wars are really fought during the First World War. Why J.P. Morgan and the financiers here in the United States and in Europe were funding both sides. They were funding the Allies, and they were funding the Central Powers. And, of course, you made money from both sides. And then, of course, because bankers have the wonderful advantage of being able to, through the fractional reserve banking system, to create money out of nothing. So if they don't get paid, they don't worry about it, because there is nothing there to lose. But, of course, people can spend that money, because the average individual doesn't understand the fraud of the current banking system. At one time, we had a gold-backed system, and even then there was an element of fractional reserve, but nothing like there is today. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'll certainly look forward to hearing from you. Right now we've got John calling from Vancouver, Canada. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hey, not too bad. I'm getting you pretty clear up here in Canada.
Are you getting us on the shortwave?
Yep.
Okay, very good. I'm glad to hear that. Does it usually come in pretty well there?
Not bad. It's just some nights I feel like there's something trying to block the wave.
Well, it may very well. I don't think our message is too popular, but maybe it's just an act of active from the other side, the supernatural power. Who knows? But shortwave sometimes is spotty. Well, what did you want to talk about?
Well, I was listening to the broadcast, and I heard that fellow call in about that thing happening in the Bahamas.
Right.
I happen to know a little bit about that, and there's... I guess these are the guys that are trying to beat taking the mark of the beast. They're already left America, and they're living at the Bahamas in these societies where they're just separating, distancing themselves.
All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what. As soon as we get back, why you tell us about it. This is Dr.
Good.
Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Dr. Stan, we've got John. John, tell us about these people. Are they living somewhere in the Caribbean, or one of the islands there?
Yeah. What I heard, first of all, is this one person that the previous caller mentioned, Rick Wiles, I guess his name is, that previous caller had the right name. You both had the right name. He's believing that, I don't know if he's a false prophet or not, but he seemed to be accurate at one point. He said that he believed in the next little while that America was going to cease to exist, and that's why a lot of these people are going to other countries. But my personal, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But my personal opinion is, I'm going to go ahead and say the emperor has no clothes, and say, when are we going to know? Like when it happens, when they say to the general population that you must have to take this computer chip in your body. I'm going to go buy an axe, and I'm going to learn how to live in a wilderness. I'm going to build a cabin. I don't, you know, and if any of my American friends want to come up and live up there with me, I mean, I'm not going to stick around and take some chip in my body.
Well, we are told under no circumstances to take it, and we're going to have to resist. But if there are enough people to resist, remember, there are not very many people on the other side. They are a very small minority. What we need is to educate the people so it never comes to that, and so we can expose this whole satanic conspiracy, because that's what it is. But so our job is to get the information out while we still can, and we still can get it out today. And, you know, well, our good friends like Alex Jones and certainly Joyce Riley and Rick Miles and Steve Quayle and so many of the people, Pastor Butch Paw and certainly Chuck Chrismeyer. There are a lot of people getting the word out. We just have to be able to put it into broad perspective so they not understand what is happening spiritually, but what is happening politically. Not only what's happening politically, but what's happening spiritually, because you can't separate them.
Undoubtedly. And wasn't it you that said that there's 800 concentration camps already built? They're ready to go?
Well, I haven't used the figure 800, but I figure there are a lot of them out there. We know they refurbished the 10 Japanese concentration camps from World War II. We know they gave $385 million to Kellogg Brown and Root. We know, of course, they refurbished many of the army camps for that purpose, and we actually have a DVD made probably eight years ago called Bob Wire of America, and you'll actually see some of the camps. There's no question that they are planning on this sort of thing, but when the American people really realize it, I don't think they're going to be able to get away with it. Hold on just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John's here and concerned about the concentration camps. I believe they're real, and I believe our job is to get the American people to know what's going on. We've got a lot of great information, and fortunately, most of this can be verified up on the Internet. If you can just get people to be concerned and realize that it may be them or a loved one who's taken away, because there's no logic to any of this. You can go right along, certainly, and do everything you're told to do. And that's not going to do any good, because we're dealing with the same irrational forces in America today that were there in Nazi Germany, because the same occult forces are still at work here in our nation today. Those same forces that financed the Nazi movement in Germany. Now, anything else you want to say, John?
Well, and just in closing, I want to say, if they're not going to listen to voices like Radio Liberty, and if a lot of Christians are saying, you know, well, I'm not going to run away, well, then, you know, you really have a choice. You can either way, you're going to go to a camp. Either you're going to spend time in a concentration camp, or you can get ahead of the game and make your own camp. Either way, I can't see the cities in the future being a very safe place to live. But anyway, that's my opinion.
All right, God bless you. Well, you want to get yourself all prepared, but don't spend all your time getting prepared. Spend some of your time telling those other good Canadians what's going on. They're good people, and we need them behind us.
Well, we're going to have to work together. In closing, I just want to say that, let's work in partnership because, you know, the beast doesn't discriminate, and we're going to have to work in cooperation to get it done.
Amen to that. God bless and thanks very much.
You too, Dr. Sam.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Let's go ahead. Let's see. First, we got a first-time caller from Alaska. Don't know he's on the line now. We've got Rick from Spokane. Hi, Rick. Do you have a question or comment?
Are you there?
Yeah, I sure am.
Oh, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
I've listened to your show numerous times, and I really enjoy it. I was just wondering, I used to pastor a church, and one thing that I guess I found out is that, you know, churches are all incorporated around the country. You know, over 95% of the churches are incorporated around the country, and, you know, from my research, I found that, you know, being incorporated has pretty much effectively silenced the pulpit, and I'm just wondering how come nobody really says anything about it.
Well,
I remember one time Dr. Dobson got on the phone, was on the radio, and somebody called him and said, "Hey, Dr. Dobson, you know, we need leadership. Please tell us what to do." He goes, "Well, you know, as the leader of a incorporated church, it wouldn't be prudent for me to, you know, say who to vote for or whatever." And he, you know, but he didn't really come right out and spit it out and say that, well, you know, if I were to really voice my opinion and tell you who to vote for or whatever, that I could get sued by the government because I'm a 501c3 corporation.
No, I'll tell you what, Rick, that's why we are not a 501c3. We gave up our 501c3 so we could speak out, and I wish every church in America would do it. I wish they would have the courage because I want to
blow the alarm a little bit about that because, you know, people really can't speak out, and it makes the First Amendment null and void to the church because they're an entity of the state.
Well, Rick, we have too many ministers who are more afraid of the government than they are of God, and I believe they're going to have to stand before God, or they have an obligation to be up there not only preaching the gospel, but to explain to people what's really going on and what the spiritual battle. And a lot of them simply have been indoctrinated with the idea you don't speak out, you don't tell the truth, you might offend somebody, they might leave the church because they're offended. They've got to have enough faith in God, and they've got to do what they believe is right. And I wish you were back pastoring the church now. I bet you'd do a much better job.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I made it an issue from behind the pulpit a little bit, and I got run out on the rail because, you know, people just simply wouldn't believe it that corporation was keeping the pulpit silent.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Rick, and God bless you for having the courage to do what was right. Maybe there are enough people up there in Spokane would like to have a church where they have a minister who will tell the truth. Anyway, God bless, and thanks very much for being with us. Bye-bye. And let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and the people up in Spokane, the caller was from Rick, named Rick from Spokane. Maybe there are people up there who would like to start a church. You don't have to start very large, but it can grow, and you need a minister who realizes, of course, that when you're a 501c3, you can't speak out, and you don't have to be 501c3 to get tax-exempt donations. We're not suggesting that you can donate to us, because I consider we're a ministry that government doesn't want. We've just said we're not going to do that because we want to be able to tell the truth. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Let me just tell a little story there. Actually, a friend of mine actually did a radio program. He'd referred to Bill Clinton as a crook. This was after Bill Clinton had been indicted. So the IRS came around and said, you referred to Bill Clinton as a crook, and of course you have a 501c3, you can't do that. And this fellow said, but look, you know, he is a crook. He's been indicted by Congress. And the fellow from the IRS says, it doesn't matter whether he's been indicted by Congress. Doesn't matter if he's a crook. You can't say it. And they pulled his 501c3. Fortunately, we've never done that. We just gave up ours voluntarily. Well, let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. Once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Good evening. I'd like to bring up a subject that many listeners may or may not be aware of. When Adolf Hitler first came to power in Germany, he cloaked his cause with Christianity. Now, I had read somewhere recently that the Roman Catholic Church never in Congress, who, for example, talk about abortion, they do everything in their power. I can just point you to an unnamed senator who is just now getting his knighthood from Queen Elizabeth in England, but who use all of their power to further the cause of abortion, which is diametrically the opposite of what their own religion teaches. I'll just mention it, Senator Ted Kennedy. And what Father Carapi said, now he didn't mention the name, but I do, he simply said it's very simple what he would do. He would take these people, he would call them up publicly and tell them that their stand on this, that, and the other issue is diametrically the opposite of what their faith supposedly is, and then give them time to recant, and if they don't, excommunicate them. When was the last time you've ever heard of any church in America excommunicating one of its members for breaking its, its beliefs? Going against its beliefs.
Well, I think there may be a few small churches that still do that. I think that they should, and I wish that people in Ted Kennedy's diocese would have the courage to do that. But we're in real trouble today because I think the church has abandoned its very foundations, and an awful lot of ministers don't want to make a big issue out of abortion because there may be some people in the congregation who've had an abortion. We wouldn't want to make them feel bad or uncomfortable. And I believe the ministers and the priests should be the conscience of our community. And I'm hoping one day they'll find the courage to do what's right. Incidentally, as far as Adolf Hitler is concerned, we have a wonderful book written by Erwin Lutzer, who's the minister at the Baptist Church, the Moody Baptist Church in Chicago. It's called Hitler's Cross. And it goes into how Adolf Hitler used the church and used the ministers. And as if they quoted Romans 13, as they do today, as a justification for everybody having to follow him. So about 10% of the ministers who had the courage to speak out and refused to go along, but most of them went along because in Germany, why, the salary was paid by the government. And tragically, you go to Germany today, and the churches, both Protestant and German, Catholic, are empty because the people know that the religious leaders betrayed their country. Anything else you want to say, Herman, before we let you go?
Regarding Grace Community Church, John MacArthur, based in Southern California, has an audience of millions on his programs and does a lot of work in international groups. Recently, there was a long article published, and I think I forwarded it to you, that the church is being infiltrated by the purpose-driven church growth movement.
Well, believe me, these people are infiltrating everything. They're infiltrating the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, and if you have a really good Protestant Church, they'll infiltrate it. They'll infiltrate our Christian schools. I was just called recently, a couple of days ago, by a distraught father whose a daughter attends a Christian school over on the by Watsonville in the Freedom area, somewhere close by that in their area, and they brought in the author of The Shack, who of course has written a totally heretical book, and the Bible teacher was saying how wonderful this book was, and of course you really didn't have to follow the Christian faith, and it's just totally this is in a small Christian school, undermining the very foundations of Christianity. But I can remember 45 years ago here in my own community when we put in a Christian school, and they had infiltrated that school. I got on the board of the school so we can get rid of this one teacher who was doing everything they could to destroy the faith of the children. And that's what it's all about. If you can infiltrate the Christian school and destroy the faith of the children, take God out of our schools, infiltrate the Christian schools, infiltrate the Christian churches, we're dealing with a really diabolical enemy. Hey, look, thanks so much, Kermit. We got a board full. Anything else you want to say before I let you go?
Let's all pray for Radio Liberty and support in any way we can.
God bless, and I appreciate your support, Herman. Let's go to Bruce, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Bruce. You have a question or comment?
I'm hoping you will speak to something. I think I heard it on your show first, that the Congress was threatened with martial law in the United States if they didn't pass the stimulus package?
No, that was the TARP legislation. Last October. And you can go up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com, and under other videos we actually have a clip of one of the congressmen who made that statement.
Thank
that
you.
They were told if they did not actually vote for the TARP legislation, there'd be troops on the streets on Monday.
That's exactly. And so I was thinking from that, there's a book called the Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein, and I wondered if you would address that.
Well, I really don't know the book at all, but I do know that they frightened the congressmen. They either bribed them, or they threatened them, or they will send a very attractive secretary in there to seduce them, and they'll have pictures of her. They really do this sort of thing, especially take people to the Bohemian Grove where they can compromise them. And we have actually interviewed Kathy O'Brien, who was sent there by the CIA to, of course, compromise high-ranking government officials.
I think that you and your listeners would benefit from the book Shock Doctrine
right.
by Naomi Klein, K-L-I-E-N. And I think it follows up a great deal on what you've just talked about.
All right. Well, thank you so very much, Bruce. I appreciate so much your calling.
Thank you, sir.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And let's go to Faith, who's calling from Arkansas. Hi, Kai Faith.
Yes, hello. I'm so glad to get a hold of you.
Brian, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, my comment is this. People are so concerned about the mark of the beast being a computer chip inside of them, but after careful consideration and study of Revelation, I have found that there are five things that will end you up in the lake of fire. One, the number of the beast's name. Number two, the mark of the beast. Number three, his name. Number four, the worshiping of the beast. Or five, worshiping the image of the beast. And people are always concerned only about the one.
I think it's a good point, and I think that the last thing we want to do is, of course, get taken in on this thing. But I think, you know, we're told in the latter times even the elect will be deceived. I think there will be an effort to confuse us. And after all, wouldn't it be convenient if you didn't have to pay? You just had to show your mark or whatever it was, and then you could just get all the groceries you want. I think that an awful lot of people are going to be seduced into doing this, and we have to be out there warning them.
And the number of the beast name, I believe, is going to be a type of a national ID, possibly with your Social Security number, but probably another number as well. And the mark of the beast probably would be a physical thing, computer chip, right hand, forehead, and so on. John Todd, for example, do you remember him?
I really don't know. Oh.
Johnny Todd, he was ex-Illuminati.
All right, go ahead.
And he said that he believed it was going to be a card, a national ID card.
Well, because they're putting the RFID chip in those cards. We'll just have to wait and see, Faith. It's all speculation. But it's fascinating to speculate. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go? We've got a couple of other callers.
Not really. This was really a cheap thing.
All right. God bless them. Thanks so much for calling. And get all those other people there in Arkansas listening, will you? Okay. Let's go to Joe from New York. Joe, we're almost out of time. But do you have a quick question for us?
Yes. Well, I have just a little comment regards to the fellow you had on early this afternoon talking about the end times.
Oh, that was Pastor Billy Crone. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, and I happen to have some information that's a little different than what he has been describing, where he mentioned the two witnesses. And I find it kind of strange that he would think that the two witnesses, these are some kind of people that are going to be killed and the whole world is going to see them.
Well, that's just
well, these two witnesses are basically the church.
I see.
Because it says these two witnesses are the olive branches and the candlesticks.
Uh-huh.
So it had nothing to do with two human beings. It's symbolic of the church. And here's another thing, Dr. Stan. If you go to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, 14th verse, you'll notice that there, God is talking about the lights in the heavens, and he said they would be for signs. Now, guess what? There are 12 signs in the heavens, and that's the zodiac.
Right.
And if you go to the book of Job, you will notice when God is talking to Job, he says to Job, can thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades, and can thou loose the bands of Orion, and can thou bring forth Maserat in his season. Now, if you look up that word Maserat in the Hebrew, that means the zodiac.
Okay, we're out of time, Joe, but I really appreciate you bringing that up.
Again, Dr. Stan,
all right, God bless.
I've got to finish this up.
Okay,
very interesting information, I think.
Thanks very much, Joe, but we're out of time right here.
Okay.
Well, we have time for one more caller, and that's John from Texas. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I've been listening to some stuff from Jeremiah. I just wanted to read a few.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and you're in a position to help, join the Radio Liberty family or subscribe to our newsletter, get some of the items. We'd appreciate hearing from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there, if you are making preparations, because I believe difficult times are coming, and we work very closely with Ready Reserve Foods, and certainly we believe that everybody should be making preparations and hope and pray that you would never need your Ready Reserve food, but certainly even Pastor David Wilkerson this last week has written in his blog that he is anticipating that there are going to be terrible catastrophes all across America. He's saying everybody ought to have a 30-day supply of food. So we do hope, of course, if you're interested in learning about long-term food storage, why, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you the list there, and of course you'll get the products at the same price you would from the Ready Reserve Food. Many of these, of course, are still at wholesale prices. They had to drop the price because of competition, so it's really a pretty good deal. And then, of course, we do hope, of course, that if you don't have a Berkey water filter, you'd need one, and maybe some extra filters. Of course, if you have fluoride in your water, you ought to have one anyway. But if you don't have fluoride in the water, you need some means of purifying the water in case, well, who knows what's going to happen. And then, of course, if you'd like to lay in a supply of health products just to keep your immune system going, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. We have, of course, a DVD. It's called Sheltering in Place. tells you how to prepare your home in case there's a nuclear biological attack. We have a book, it's called Surviving Nuclear Warfare, Nuclear Survival Skills, I guess it is, and we've got a book dealing with just how you would go about using food products, you know, what you do with wheat. And, of course, I think name escapes me. I think it's something about keeping your pantry dry. Anyway, just ask for the book. It has to do with preparing your products that you're going to need in case we broke down and lost the organized society we have. Making the Base to Basics is the title of the book. And it's not that expensive. My wife actually had it long before we started doing this, and she's used this many, many times, especially when we would go away for our summer vacation. So the book, Making the Best of Basics, or Nuclear War Survival Skills, or the DVD, Sheltering in Place, they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope many of you out there will certainly get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it's the best short summary of what this is all about and who is directing this whole effort to destroy Christian civilization. And then, of course, my talk on the Forbidden Secret with the syllabus, my talk on the planned police state with the syllabus, and then my material on the concentration camps. And there really are concentration camps out there. You can get the DVDs. I would suggest the concentration camp special, but you can get the 4-tape set, or the DVD, America Behind Barbed Wire. Or the special has, of course, a great deal of other information, and you'll actually see the congressman talking about the effort, the plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and round up American citizens. This is not imaginary. It's real. And, of course, the America we've known will soon not exist in the same form. And that's why we have to get the people informed. And I do not know whether God will preserve America. But, of course, we can pray for a great revival, because if the people of this country don't turn back to God, God is going to turn his back on this country. So please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow night, may the Lord be with you. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Deanna Spingola. We're going to be talking about Iran. And, of course, there's a lot of information now. They're beginning to turn up the Temperature, as far as Iran is concerned, we were told a few months ago that there is no evidence that Iran was even trying to create nuclear weapons. And now we're suddenly told, well, Iran may already have the nuclear material to produce one nuclear bomb, or she may very, very soon have the ability to produce nuclear weapons, and we're going to have to be concerned about it. And, of course, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when our country gets into a financial crisis, what you want to do is have a war. And that takes the people's attention off of asking who was it who created the financial crisis and why has the value of my life savings been destroyed and why has everything I've been working for in preparation for my retirement been destroyed? And we focus on the external enemy other than the enemy within. Well, I'm going to let Deanna go ahead. She's writing a book and she's been doing a lot of research on this part of the world. And there's so much information and so much disinformation you're getting. But I will tell you that although, of course, our government is supposedly, we're totally against the spread of nuclear weapons, it was actually the United States State Department that supervised and allowed the transfer of nuclear technology to Pakistan so it could be given to Iran in preparation for what I believe is a coming war with a Muslim world. But that is the background, though. Deanna, thank you very much for being with us again.
Well, hi. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, you go right ahead because we always enjoy what you have to say. You go right ahead.
Well, thank you. As you mentioned, oftentimes when we're having problems here at home, we start a war. And this is not a new tactic. This has been going on for over 100 years. This occurred in the McKinley administration. He was sworn in 1896. And we had actually been very independent, very isolationist up until that point in time, although we had a lot of war hawks within the administration, within Congress, people like Henry Cabot Lodge and also Theodore Roosevelt, who were very intrigued, influenced by a gentleman who had written a book in 1890, called the Navy and the Sea Power, and his name was Alfred Thayer Mahon, and he wrote this book in 1890, and he said basically that in order to be a strong nation, you had to have a great big naval power, and since the Civil War, we had about 700 ships in the Civil War, and we had the Navy had been downsized, and so he wrote this book and said, "Hey, you know, we've got to build up this Navy." And when McKinley came in, they were having some social problems, and so as you mentioned, they turned outward and looked for an excuse to go to war. And in fact, John Hay, who was Secretary of State to McKinley, referred to the war that we started as a splendid little war, and that war was actually our very, very first war of conquest, and that's the first time that we went into Cuba.
And, Chris, basically at that time they had all these atrocity stories about how terrible the Spanish were. I just exactly remember all those stories about how terrible the Taliban were to justify going to war with the Taliban back there in 2001. It was all contrived. Well, Deanna, you go right ahead. You were just saying that they were trying to get the American people into the mood to go to war with Spain. That's what it was all about.
Right, right. And, you know, when the war started with Cuba, and it was triggered by an explosion on the battleship Maine, and war was not actually declared for 4 months, and the ship was actually, or the explosion on that ship, which killed about 260 people, which was more than was killed in the war as far as military, but it killed 260 people, and it was really an internal explosion, but they blamed it on Spain. And so they went to Manila. They went into Cuba, and then they went to Manila. And General Dewey, or Admiral Dewey, was based in Hong Kong. And Theodore Roosevelt actually cabled him. He was at that point in time the assistant secretary of the Navy. And he cabled him and said, go to Manila, which basically was not even an issue at that point. But Admiral Dewey went to Manila on about May 1st, 1898, with four ships. He took out the Spanish fleet. And the interesting thing about this whole situation is that before we even went to Cuba, is that Spain said, okay, we will capitulate and we'll meet all of your demands. And that was never told to the American people. In fact, the newspapers at the time, the Hearst newspapers particularly, and also the Pulitzer newspapers, were very, very into war. They were promoting this war. And, in fact, Hearst sent one of the his reporters down there by the name of Remington, and he was also an illustrator, sent him down to cover the war. And Remington wrote back, or he cabled back, and he said, there is no war. And Hearst said, you stay there, and we'll create a war.
I think the quotation was, you provide the pictures,
right.
I'll provide the war. That was in, actually, that's in Parton's famous quotations. It's one of my favorite. You provide the pictures, I'll provide the war.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
But you see, they're callous people. They don't care how many people are killed in the wars. And of course, I remember, of course, when I was in college, we learned a little poem about Manila Bay. And, you know, Dewey was the morning upon that month in May, and Dewey was the admiral down in Manila Bay. And Dewey were the regent's eyes, them six of our old blue. Well, but do we feel discouraged? I do not think we do. Well, anyway, Deanna was telling us about the onset of the Spanish-American War in 1878. It was totally contrived. The Spanish had agreed to all of our demands, but we never told the American people that because our leaders wanted a war. And the same thing happened in Afghanistan. What you were never told is that the Taliban offered to send Obama to another nation to be tried. If there was, first of all, they said they'd turn him over to the Americans. We just show them the evidence, and we said, we don't have to show you the evidence against Obama. Oh, you turn him over to us, and they said, well, we'll send him to another country where he can get a trial. And they said, that's not sufficient. They said, we'll send him out of the country then, and you can capture him when we send him out. We did not want a solution. We wanted to go to war in Afghanistan, because the war had nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. In fact, you can go up on the Internet today and get the 10 most wanted criminals. One of them is Osama bin Laden. And look what he's wanted for. He is wanted for a bombing in Africa, but not for the World Trade Center bombing. And when people have called the FBI and asked about the World Trade Center, the FBI says, well, we have no record of his being involved with the World Trade Center bombing. Well, then, if that's true and the FBI doesn't have any evidence of it, where is the evidence that he was involved? And it's all contrived. They wanted a war. And how many boys have died unnecessarily in Afghanistan? And how many people there have been slaughtered, civilians? And how many people have come and how many Muslims have come to hate the United States because, of course, our mistreatment of people and arresting them and torturing them over there? And we've already dishonored certainly the honor of this country. But you go right ahead, Deanna.
And, you know, there's another reason why we went into Afghanistan. Well, there was a couple of other reasons. One was that the Brightus Company had a pipeline going from the Caspian Sea area, and they had already made a deal with the government of Afghanistan, and we wanted that pipeline. And the other reason is that the Taliban had completely shut down poppy growth. And that was one of the biggest areas for poppy production in the world. And that was creating a lot of profit for a lot of people. And since we went in and bombed them, poppy production is up now. And so that satisfies a couple of different reasons.
Well, because isn't it interesting that the wicked Taliban were able to shut down the poppy production in Afghanistan, but now the heroic American forces are there under command of Washington, D.C. Why we just can't seem to do anything about the poppy production. In fact, there's more poppy production, more heroin coming out of Afghanistan now than ever before. Although, as Deanna said, the Taliban had almost shut it down by 2001. Anyway, Deanna, let's get back to the Spanish-American War.
Okay. So we went into Manila, and we got rid of the Spanish. Only one American died, but not from the war. I think it was from heat prostration or something. And that should have been that. We should have just left and said, well, off we go. But we didn't. We occupied the Philippines, and within just a short period of time, McKinley asked Admiral Dewey to prepare a nice inventory list of all of the resources that were available there in the Philippines, and even some of the people that were over there serving in the war. One was John Houseman, who decided, oh my goodness, there's some gold mining over here, and that was in the Benguet province, and the people had mined for years. The indigenous population had mined and had done it in such a way that it was very they didn't destroy the land, they didn't destroy the water. They would just dig out a little hole in the mountain and use water to wash away the residue, and that is how they mined. But then when the Americans went in, they really didn't care about what was downstream. They didn't care about the environment there, and they were using all kinds of toxic kinds of things. And now those people who used to live there and used to work there and for centuries, now can't even drink the water there. They can't grow the rice and the other crops that they used to grow there. The water has become toxic, so that the animals downstream can't drink it. And it has also destroyed part of the fishing harvest. A lot of people used to make their money from fishing, and that's not possible there anymore.
I think most people have never heard of the Philippine-American War. I know I had never heard of it, and even though I'm minored in history, it was many years, just a few years ago, actually, when I really learned about the Philippine-American War. Between 500,000 and 2 million Filipinos died after we went there to liberate them. Well, they
right.
didn't want to be liberated. They wanted to be free. But of course, it's sort of like it is in Iraq. Now we're going to pull all of our combat troops and are just going to leave about 50,000 troops over there to make sure everything runs smoothly. And that's all we wanted to do: was simply take over the Philippine Islands and leave our troops there. And when the Filipinos resisted, we slaughtered between 500,000 and 2 million of them. You can look it up on the Internet. If you've never heard of this, it's the reason you were never supposed to. This is one of the most carefully kept secrets in America, the Philippine-American War. And I think we lost about 5,000 troops. But they lost between 500,000 and 2 million Filipinos. But we eventually won the war.
We lost. There were more people, more casualties on the USS Maine with 260 than we lost in the actual war. We lost 85 people.
What about the Philippine-American War that followed?
Right. The Philippine-American War, we actually lost 85 in just that four months that it lasted, supposedly the 4 months that the war lasted. And 16 of those were killed in action. And then after that, there was a lot of Filipinos that perished. I mean, as you say, about 500,000 Filipinos. And it was because they resisted. And they were referred to as the insurgency. And we also developed water torture at that point in time, where we were waterboarding and using the same kinds of torture techniques that are used in Iraq. And when people back home were hearing about this back in 1902, they thought, well, what is this, water torture? How can you torture with water? And some of the journalists who were writing about this were very, they had some bias, because a lot of the people that served in the Philippines had also served in the Civil War and the war against the Plains Indians, and they felt that white people were much superior to brown people, and they had some very negative names that they called these people, and it was just a travesty, just an absolute travesty. And you often think, well, why don't we hear about this? Because, well, the reason we don't hear about it today, currently, in our wars, is because we have a lot of people working in the Pentagon. In fact, we have about 27,000 people who work in the Pentagon PR. And they create stories and news, or so-called news, to drum up war. And they put out press releases and tell us about all of these terrible people that we're supposed to be outraged against, when in fact these people are just trying to live their lives, feed their families, maintain a roof over their head. And Americans, the U.S., the U.S. business interests, just have other ideas about what they'd like to do in other countries, and it's tragic, and it's been that way since the Spanish-American War. And after the Spanish-American War, well, then of course there were other third world countries that we went into even before World War One, and after we took the Philippines. When we took the Philippines, we also picked up Guam. We also picked up Puerto Rico. We tried to retain Cuba, and we did for a while. And then there was a Platt Amendment, which says, "Okay, you can be free." But we were growing sugar. We were growing sugar in Cuba, and we also had, there was another company called the United Fruit Company that had been growing fruit down there. And they had pretty much taken over the real fertile land. And we, additionally, we were doing the same thing in Hawaii. And the sugar planters over there were mostly American, and they had taken up the most fertile area. And then a new queen came in, and she just thought, well, you know, we need to have Hawaii for Hawaiians. And she came in about 1891. And so the U.S. Navy went in, and they went into the bay there, and in Pearl Harbor, and just sort of created some intimidation. And basically, we overthrew the Hawaiians and annexed them against their will. I believe the annexation date was in 1898. So 1898 was a very interesting year, a very interesting year for expansionism.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Gianna, go right ahead.
So we picked up Puerto Rico. We picked up Guam. And
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Along with the agenda of the big businesses, and this is where United Fruit and many of the other major corporations came in, dominating the economies of South American and Central American nations, so for profit. And it's unfortunate, but that's really the way it was. Have you ever read the treatise by Major General Smedley Butler about war as a racket? Because he was in many of those invasions.
I love that book.
Okay, fine. You go right ahead.
Yes, he wrote War as a Racket. And my grandfather was his aide, and my grandfather went to China with him in 1927, and my father was, as a one-year-old, was in the Dominican Republic with the Marines, with his father, of course. My mother, or my grandmother and my grandfather were down there, and so my father's first language was actually Spanish. And my grandfather went to China with him, and General Butler made the statement that he spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service, and during that period I spent most of my time as a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. Thus, I helped make Mexico, and especially Tampico, safe for American oil interest in 1914. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenues in. I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. And
Deanna, let me just comment for our listeners. If you would like to read a brief summary of Major General Smedley Butler's treatise, War is a Racket, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And one of my entire newsletters is War is a Racket, written by Major General Smedley Butler. You're never going to read this ordinary places, but go to RadioLiberty.com. Just scroll down through the letters to my monthly letters to War is a Racket. Read it carefully. Read it several times and weep for our American boys who are sent overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but not for America, but for the special interest which I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Go right ahead.
Right, and our service people had good intentions. They believed what the government said. They really believed it. And thought that they were fighting for our country, and I think many people still believe that. But we had interest in the Pacific, and we also wanted to have interest in the Caribbean. We wanted to, you know, that naval power that I spoke of earlier. We wanted to be a two ocean navy, which we became. And these areas are very strategic. Cuba was very strategic, having Hawaii, having the Philippines, was very strategic and allowed us to have access to other parts of the world to develop this one world order, which is basically a dominion over the entire planet. And so we, when we went into Haiti, 50,000 Haitians were killed. And when we went into some of these other countries, it wasn't the military. They didn't have military. These people simply did not have military. All they had were people who wanted to just have their freedom and just be left to themselves. And most of the people that were killed were civilians. And of course, our American soldiers died also in World War One when Wilson was elected. He said, you know, that he would keep us out of the war, and then as soon as he was elected, then Colonel House, who was a front man, a point man for the bankers, he was actually Wilson's alter ego, and Wilson, then all of a sudden we're going to war to make the world safe for democracy, which is a phrase that is used frequently. But in World War One,
the other slogan was the war to end all wars. The war to end all wars. And that was because we were going to have the United Nations and a world government. The other was to make the world safer democracy. But why would we do that when America's a republic and our leaders knew that democracy always leads to tyranny? Why would we go to war to make the world safer democracy? Or maybe it was simply a slogan to cover the true reason why we went to war. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and go ahead, Deanna, pick this story up. You're talking about the First World War, the slogans that were used in the First World War to convince the American people this was a noble war. If you look back on the war, there was absolutely no reason for America to be involved in that war, any more than there was any reason for us really to be involved in Vietnam. Any more than there was any reason for us to really be involved in World War II, because American corporations, even during the war, were building the weapons for Adolf Hitler. What's wrong with this picture? But you go ahead, Deanna. I'm getting ahead of your story.
That's okay. And, you know, we kind of wonder, well, why war? And when Norman Dodd in 1954 was investigating the foundations, one of the people at the Carnegie Endowment for Peace basically said that in 1908, they were trying to figure out how to alter society. And they determined that the best way to alter society was through warfare. And so in 1909, they created, or they focused on trying to figure out how to get us involved in a war. And that is the reason that we were in World War One, and the other reason too is that the several bankers here in this country had loaned Britain a great deal of money, and in order to ensure that that the bankers got paid, then we went in and helped Britain. We went in on the side of Britain, and it was basically just so that the bankers could get paid. It had nothing whatsoever to do with our safety or defending our country, which is basically the reason that we are supposed to have an army, or that we can call up an army. We're not even supposed to have a standing army, according to the Constitution. And, of course, now we have them standing all over the world, and which is most unfortunate. We spend more than half of our budget, annual budget, goes to the military at the expense of social services and infrastructure here at home, which is horrible, horrible, horrible. So then the other reason to have World War One is to create a world government body. And so they tried to create, in fact, they were talking about this at the Paris Peace Conferences, when they met and they decided that we would have what is called the League of Nations.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Deanna Spingola talking about World War One. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Deanna was just going into the background of World War One, and of course, World War One, in my estimation, was largely fought because they really wanted the League of Nations. That's why the Allies were in this. I don't think the Germans and Austrians had any idea what it was about, but there were groups of people in Great Britain and groups of people in the United States, and they were all tied together with this dream of Cecil Rhodes about bringing about a one world government. And that was the real reason they wanted to get America into the war. They wanted, of course, to have so many casualties and such horror, and so they prolonged this war for four bloody years. Everybody wanted to quit, but they wouldn't let them quit. There had to be enough casualties and horror that the people would be willing to give up their sovereignty and join together in this one world government. Well, and the English and the French people, and they lost a whole generation of their youth, Britain and France and Germany and Austria, and they were willing to join the League of Nations, but America hadn't lost enough casualties. That's why, of course, we had to have a Second World War. And as crass as this may appear to you, there really are people out there who have a different world view, who have no conception of suffering or compassion for human suffering, but they have an objective, a goal, a one world government, a one world economy, a one world religion, a one world leader. You pick up the story, Deanna. Do you agree or disagree with that concept?
We lost over 130,000 soldiers in the First World War. There was also issues with Germany and with Japan. When we went over for the Paris Peace Conferences, and some of those people that were over there as counsel were people like the Dulles brothers and Bernard Baruch. And they were there to counsel President Wilson on how to divvy things up. And during the Paris Peace Conferences, they really wanted huge, huge reparations from Germany. And they also did the same thing with Japan. And Germany, at that point in time, even in 1916, they wanted to quit. They wanted to end the war. And, of course, the Soviet Union was also involved in the war. They were totally not militarily ready. They had maybe one gun for every six soldiers. So they were certainly not ready for war. But when Germany was ready to give up in 1916, Herbert Hoover got together a little organization where he was sending food to Belgium, supposedly to feed the Belgians, and it was actually transported by railway to Germany to feed the people in Germany so that they could stay in the war. And Germany and the United States were both about the same industrially. Germany had actually was ahead of us in chemicals, and they had quite an industry, a big industry. We were ahead of them in railroads and that kind of thing. But they had also decided that they had made a deal with Iraq, and they were building a railroad from Berlin to Baghdad. And, of course, the Brits didn't like that because they had already made a deal with the Iraqi government for 75 years that they were going to lease the oil from them for 75 years, and they had installed somebody that was to their liking. And so it was about oil. It was about divvying up the European landscape after the war, and it was about initiating the League of Nations. And always, it's always about peace. You know, they say, well, if we have the League of Nations, then we're never going to have another war. It's like when they created the Federal Reserve. Well, if we create the Federal Reserve, we're not going to have any more money problems. We're not going to have any more panics or crashes. And you really can't believe the government when they tell you these things, that we're not going to have any more wars if we have this organization. Well, America did not want to be involved with the League of Nations. And this was mainly Henry Cabot Lodge. And he said, no, we don't want the League of Nations. And there were some particular reasons that he didn't want to be involved in it, because he was really an expansionist. He was a war hawk. But he did not endorse the League of Nations, so we did not join. But at that point in time, in 1920-21, they created, while they were there, they created the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a the secret government here in this country.
Who created the Council on Foreign Relations, and when was it actually created?
Actually, I think it was formalized in 1921, but they had the first meeting there with the British have a sister organization. And
well, that's the Royal Institute for International Affairs.
Right. And so they created the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Council on Foreign Relations basically develops foreign policy for our government. The other thing that Norman Dodd discovered when he was investigating the foundations is that they decided, the foundations, the people who run the foundations, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Fords, they decided that the only way that they could promote war and get us into wars is if they took over the State Department and foreign policy. And so a lot of what the CFR does is they create and promote foreign policy for the State Department. And, of course, they also install members of the CFR in just about every administration since the creation of this organization. Most of the administrations are filled with people from the CFR, and their goal is to destroy American sovereignty, and they are promoting a one world order. And I believe that every American president since Wilson has had a mentor that pretty much runs things, with few exceptions. There's been some exceptions.
Well, certainly, but Wilson's mentor was certainly Edward Mandell House. Literally every president has somebody control him. Who controlled George W. Bush? It was Dick Cheney, member of the Trilateral Commission and member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And you can go right down through the, actually, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations was the primary organization that controlled our government until 1973, when the Trilateral Commission was founded. And since 1976, when we had our first Trilateral Commission president, remember, there are only about 85 people who are Americans in the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. Since 1976 up until the present administration, either the president and or the vice president of the United States has come from the Trilateral Commission formed by David Rockefeller, who for 15 years was the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations and today is the honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, but he organized the Trilateral Commission. And between 1973 and 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States was a member of the Trilateral Commission, which is, of course, the organization now above the CFR. Could that possibly have happened by accident? Go right ahead, Deanna.
Okay, so then after World War One, then from 1916 on, we, or business interest here in this country, started funding the military buildup of the Soviet Union. And those records from 1916 forward were classified by Eisenhower in 1953 so that the American people would not find out about all of the technology that we were sending over to the Soviets.
And I think that's it's an important thing. What the average American doesn't understand is we funded the communists in Russia starting basically after the October Revolution in 1917, and we may very well that were involved with the first revolution in March of 1917. But
Until
people understand that communism doesn't work. It's inefficient. Had it not been for the constant infusions of money and technology and American corporations like Ford Motor Company going over and building a major automotive plant to put, Russia on wheels, that was at Gorky, and of course, people like Armand Hammer and Averell Harriman and Exxon and sort of helping their banks and their banks interlocking with our banks, communism would have failed. In fact, as Solzhenitsyn gave a talk, we produced part of it in a little pamphlet called The Communist Capitalist Alliance. You can get that from Radio Liberty, The Communist Capitalist Alliance. You want to read what Solzhenitsyn said, and we, because, of course, we've created the best enemy that American money and technology could create. But go right ahead.
Right. I think it was the shift that provided $20 million to Lenin to go over there and create the revolution. And he and his lackeys were also trained on the Standard Oil compound in New Jersey. And we also built up the Nazi war machine. Certain business interests here and there supported him. The big business in Germany, because he was friendly to big business, then they lent him their support.
And let me just comment, there's two books, one, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, the other, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, both by Professor Sutton, who was a personal friend. Both books are available from Radio Liberty. Everyone should read them. Go right ahead.
Absolutely. Everyone should read them. So then we go into World War II, which is basically just a continuation of World War One, and then we were fighting against the Germans and Japan, because Japan had bombed Pearl Harbor. Of course, we knew that they were going to attack Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt knew about it. In fact, he and Churchill and MacArthur tracked the progress of the Japanese as they were approaching Pearl Harbor. We knew about it. We had broken their code, and we knew. But it was one way, because they had a deal with Germany, a pact with Germany, that if if we got into a war with Japan, then we would automatically be in a war with Germany at the same time.
Well, you know, I think that the average American doesn't understand why Japan had to attack the United States. We were already at war. We had put an embargo on Japan. They couldn't buy raw materials anywhere in the world. Then they couldn't buy oil anywhere in the world. What would happen if somebody put an embargo on the United States tomorrow so we couldn't buy oil anywhere in the world? We would have about 6 months, we'd be out of oil, and we would cease to be an industrial society. And that's exactly what we've done to Japan. When you put an embargo on a country, that is an act of war. But, you see, the average American didn't understand that. The President Roosevelt, who had sworn to the American people, I can remember him saying, no American boy will ever fight on foreign soil. I hate war. Illinois hates war. Even little Falla hates war. That was his dog. Even little Falla hates war. And he was simply lying through his teeth. Of course, he was a very evil man. He was involved in Satanism. He was a 32nd-degree Mason, a disciple of Manly P. Hall, who was a Satanist at that time. And that's why, of course, the FDR put the satanic emblems on the back of the dollar bill. That's covered in a great new DVD we've got called The Eye of the Phoenix. And if you're out there in the audience, if you haven't seen it, you need to get The Eye of the Phoenix. But basically, it's so difficult for the American people to understand that we forced the Japanese to attack. We knew they were going to attack. They knew when they were going to attack. They knew where they were going to attack. And they left those boys there at Pearl Harbor to die. Go right ahead.
Right. And as far as sanctions, that was one of the things that they talked about in the League of Nations. They figured out that sanctions were a good thing. Use against populations. And I was reading this book. I can't remember the name of the book. I have so many. But this was something that they planned back in 1919, that they were going to start using sanctions. It isn't something new that we just thought up to use in Iraq, but it's something that we've been doing for some time. And not only did the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor, but 10 hours later, they also attacked the Philippines, and MacArthur was stationed there. He'd gotten back into active duty in 1937, and he was called back to the Philippines. He knew that they were going to bomb the planes over there. He did not respond to the attack on Pearl Harbor. He left all those planes in the field, at Clark Field, and so the entire fleet of planes were destroyed on purpose. On purpose. He allowed that to happen. And so, anyway, we were in a war on two fronts, on the European front and in the Pacific theater. And we, during that time, had developed an atomic bomb. And the war was going along. People were dying. Terrible, terrible things were happening. The Americans were involved, but the war economy here was good. The war economy was good. People were working. Of course, it got a lot of women out of the homes and working, which was not a good thing, because after the war ended, they continued to do that, and so it changed the structure. It changed society. It changed American society.
Was that, I think, really what it was intended to be? In fact, of course, what Norman Dodd had found is that the great foundations, writing back in 1908, had said, this is the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, the best way to change society is through a war. Deanna, I want you to get your website out there so people would know how they can get in touch with you if they'd like more information.
Okay, it's spingola.com.
Spingola.com. You can read her articles at newswithviews.com, or I guess you're also up there on Spingola, aren't they?
Right, right.
All right, go right ahead.
So, towards the end of the war, in January of 1945, Japan offered to, they wanted to make peace, and this was in January of 45. And Roosevelt kind of put their peace offer in a drawer. They also made this offer They work through Russia. They also gave paperwork to General MacArthur.
Hold that thought for. So the end of.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
People from the crimes of the people in government that created the financial collapse of the Second World War, pardon me, of the Great Depression. We had to have the Second World War, and I feel that is fear. That is what's going to happen again. But anyway, I'll let you go, Deanna. God bless. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Chris, I hope you enjoyed Deanna's summary of the wars. I think she's done a lot of work, a lot of research. She's writing a book on it, and she's kind enough to come on with us. Well, our telephone number, of course, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I have a talk. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story. Or if War, the Untold Story, they're both basically the same talk. They're both available on DVD. And there's a syllabus that goes with that, which we strongly recommend. That'll give you all the details of all the wars we've had. That's Iraq, the Untold Story. You need to have the information, and you need to have a lot of the original documents. We actually include there the letter that Ambassador Dodd sent to Colonel House back in 1936, asking why American major corporations in Germany, American corporations in Germany, were building the war materials for Adolf Hitler. And the American ambassador didn't understand why American corporations would be building up the war-making capacity of the Germans, the Nazis, in preparation for another great war, because nobody wanted a war. Ah, he was wrong. There was a small group that did want a war. And boy, did we get a good one. Unfortunately, there are people who have a different worldview. That's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and understand what energizes these people. My talk on the Forbidden Secret. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't seen the DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, The Riddles in Stone, or The Eye of the Phoenix, we recommend these. We have an excellent DVD talk by Chris Pinter, who produced the three videos we've talked about. It's one that we made. It's called The Atlantis Connection. And then, of course, we have Constance Cumby's talk on DVD, The Emergence. We have a four-tape set with her on the Aquarian Conspiracy. And The Emergence is the coming of the new world leader from the occult point of view. Fascinating talk. But then Constance Cumby is always a fascinating guest and a good friend. Well, certainly if you haven't made your arrangements, you haven't laid in your supply of long-term storage food, you'd like to get a catalog, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get your Berkey water filters, you should have at least one on hand, a couple extra filters. We don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you that the times are going to be very difficult ahead. You need a good supply of the various products that would keep your health up. I'm thinking of vitamins and minerals, something like Alibiotic. And if you're taking Iodorol, as I do, you want to have a good supply on hand. And because certainly most Americans are iodine deficient, I was going through my medical school and working at a Catholic hospital. They had fish every Friday. They called it brain food. Why? Because it had iodine in it. That's why they've taken the iodine out of our bread and our milk and about half of our salt. And why? Because we're told not to eat fish because it may contain mercury. And, of course, iodine deficiency, of course, creates terrible problems physiologically. And so many people are iodine deficient today. So if you'd like to know more about Iodorol and iodine compound, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. They'd like an article we have written by Dr. Donald Miller, professor up at the University of Washington, our four-tape set on Iodorol. We have so many great books out there. One of my favorites is, of course, Dr. Blaylock's The Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. We have a great new DVD with Dr. Blaylock, and it's entitled Vaccines and Brain Development. We have my interview with Dr. Garth Nicholson on terrible new diseases, and then please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Broadcasting from the most confused, dumbed down, manipulated, and brainwashed nation on the face of the planet with the news they hope and pray that you never hear. This is the Power Hour. All right, here we go, folks. Hour number three of today's daily exercise and thinking outside the corporate cage is now in session. Welcome aboard. Our guest has decided to stick with us. She's not run screaming from the telephone yet. I don't know, maybe that event is yet to come. Becky Akers is a writer, major contributor to LouRockwell.com, and her writings can be found in many different national publications, newspapers around the country, and it seems that she and many of our listeners are seeing eye to eye. I don't think anybody does. But the bottom line is, unless we have some sort of redress of grievances, unless we can hold our public officials accountable, unless we can have some sort of justice, unless we can reverse all of the draconian legislation that was a direct result of the fraud of 9/11, then as John F. Kennedy said, if you make peaceful change impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable. Let's not forget that, folks. So let's do everything we can to avert the horrific specter of a revolution in this country. It's going to be a whole lot easier to get involved with this petition drive than it is to lock and load and do what, you know, what you lock and load for. Anyway, Don, I've got to start jumping into these calls now. Because we got so many people on hold, and they're going to end up hanging on for a long time. You feel like grabbing these phone calls?
Absolutely.
All right, let's get down to it. And by the way, folks, if you want to read the text of what he was basically sharing with us before the break, please go to his website and check it out. Now, if you go to our website, thepowerhour.com, the links are all there, so you don't have to worry about writing down a long website or anything. Just go to today's guest, and you can click there. It'll take you to all the stuff we're talking about. So let's go to our first caller here this hour, Sheldon. In-